Podcast, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Hope your bike ride, hope your gym session, hope your walking the dog is going well. Just want to say May 5th, upcoming soon, May 5th, I am dropping a very, very, very big project. Please check out all my social media, specifically Twitter and Instagram, where I'm pontificating, previewing, flirting, but I'll put it this way. Please make sure you go to GaryVaynerchuk.com and read the article about crypto wallets. Make sure that you have a MetaMask with at least one Ethereum, one ETH in your wallet, because this project is 100% built to make sure my OG community benefits, not to mention the way I actually built it, what comes along with the NFT. So hope you check that out. Please be prepared. May 5th.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
There we go. Hi, everybody.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Really good. Let's do the intros.
All right, cool. So the man to my right needs no introduction. I think you met him before. But we're going to kind of go around the world. I'm going to start with the farthest out. We've got Ash and Kirsten at the Revivist over in the UK. Say hi, guys.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Super excited and nervous. We basically, we're a husband and wife team, and we restore classic buses and coaches. So, and we also collect them ourselves as well. So, yeah, that's us.
I love that. Buses and coaches?
Yeah, like, you know, like the London Route Master. So it's
cool.
Like...
I love it. Welcome. I'm looking forward to it.
And now we're going over to Alberta. We've got Calgary, Jeff Humphreys. Jeff, say hi to Gary.
Hey, Gary, how's it going?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
Good, thank you. Jeff Humphreys, like Joe said, Calgary, Alberta, big Flames fan. building a personal brand and run my own little digital agency office. That's kind of my primary business.
Well, good news. I've got a little bit of understanding of that world, so looking forward to helping.
Thanks, man.
Let's keep moving.
And coming into the States, but down to Arizona, we've got Anthony. Say hi to Gary, Anthony.
Gee, what's up, brother? How are you?
I'm really well, Ant. How are you?
Coming up to Chicago, we've got Deuce from Sweet Baby Ray's. Deuce, say hi to Gary.
Hey, Gary. Been following you Deuce, a long time, man. Really good to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm a chef. My family, my dad actually created Sweet Baby Ray's, and we have a restaurant and a catering business. We sold the rights to the sauce to Ken's Foods, but we retained the rights to use the name for restaurants and catering. So it's kind of a weird
situation. I understand. I know. No, it's not a weird. It's actually more common than you think. I know. I understand that quite a bit.
So my big question, well, we'll get to that, but that's, I run the business now. We have a catering and a small restaurant, and
got it.
Got some questions.
I love it, brother. Real pleasure, Deuce.
And then the closest to home, literally, we've got Alex over in New York, who's a liquor store owner. Alex.
Yeah. Hey, so I own a liquor store. Now actually like one and a half liquor stores, and I am trying to figure out.
Yeah, Bill, how'd you make out?
Where
hey, James, could you go on mute, please?
Go ahead, Alex.
How to make the next step. Basically, I've been dabbling in maybe helping other liquor store owners grow their business. And I'm at a crossroads where do I keep growing my store or grow other people's stores for money?
We'll get into that in a minute. Awesome. I'm really excited. Just to reiterate what I'm sure Joe or James or Mickey or Sydney, or this is the time to go very selfish, you know, very specific questions. But before we get into that, how's it been going so far? Anecdotally, little quick comments or head nods or body language. How's 4D's going for everybody so far? Good. Awesome. All right, Joe, orchestrate me. Who's first question? I'm ready to rock and roll.
Back to the UK. So Ash and Kirsten, the Revivist. Go ahead, y'all.
Okay, so first question is, how do we generate more interest in classic buses and coaches in an aging sort of industry where a lot of the clients are older? Should we sidestep into the classic car world that's got a more cool vibe? Or should we?
Are you willing to?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
like you like that idea? That's not like you're doing it just because that's where you think the business is, you need to go. Like it would equally be interesting to you if you went into that world?
Well, we would want to generate interest from classic car owners to the buses.
That does make sense. Are you okay if what's going to happen, which I think would naturally happen, like market size matters, right? And so like, if you're doing the classic car thing just to use it as a gateway drug to get people to love something you love, you can't make people love something you love outside of sharing your passion.
Yeah.
If you like the refurbishing and all the cool shit that comes along with it, finding it, the thrill of the hunt, all the shit that I, like, it's funny, there's many people in here who literally do what I've done my whole life and my career, yet it's your business that I'm probably most excited about because I'm such a collector. That's why I love NFTs. Like, you know, so if you love the classic car thing, or if the buggies and buses, like, you know, like the coach is like, if that's 100 and the classic car is 85 or 90 or even 80 out of the 100-point scale of passion and happiness, I would do that tomorrow because that's healthier for your business.
Yeah.
Because it's a much bigger market size and you have less fighting to get people to give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, would you focus on getting like the Gen Z into buses and coaches, even though they don't remember them? Because they're older things.
You won't be able to pull that off.
No.
That's not good. To enough scale.
That's good to hear. Okay.
But I think if you did the classic cars thing and also passionately talked about buses and buggies and coaches, that over time you'll get 3 to 7% of that base to give a shit. And that's far more than you would have if you just tried to get, got it? I see you're getting it.
Yeah, totally got it. So second question, real quick. So what do you think about the format of traditional museums? So there's like bus museums. Are pop-up experiences, virtual and museum collaborations with influencers the way forwards? You know, would you go to a bus museum? Because there's a lot of pain around that for the museums. They're like, how are we going to get people in the door?
You mean because of COVID or even in the macro?
Even in the macro, because it obviously it's like an aging industry again.
Yeah, I don't like museums as a pop-up experiences. So I like a food fair that is mixed with the bus. Like you need another trigger, right? Yeah. So it's almost like, you know, yeah, you almost call it like burger, you create a festival, a one-day event called Burgers and Buses. Where you have a burger competition and the buses are there and you start, got it? Collateral. Yeah. You're in the osmosis business. Nobody's going to come in just to come in, but through osmosis, you might be able to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. And thank you. And the final question we hope you love is, what are your thoughts on classic vehicle collecting and NFTs?
Oh, cute. I mean, NFTs are going to be like websites. Everybody will have one. And natural collecting places is a great place. I think there's really, really big things there. You should absolutely get very serious about NFTs.
Okay.
Right.
But remember, when you launch yours, if you launch yours, care about the audience more than the money you make, because everyone's fucking up right now because it's just a land grab for cash. And that's why most are going to be bad.
Okay. Awesome. Cool. Thank you so much, Gary.
Cool. Thanks. Over to Jeff over in Calgary.
Thanks, Joe. Man, Gary, that's super cool to actually be talking to you face to face. I've been on your train for about 13 years now. My last job, I worked in a restaurant company with 100 restaurants in North America. And I ran all the digital marketing for them. And the only reason I got that job is because I found you and, you know, listen to what you're up to and saw the value. And now that I've left that company and started my own agency 17 months ago, and it's actually been successful, which has been really cool thanks to your blueprint. What I'm up to, dude, is I'm essentially taking your blueprint on making a personal brand and running an agency. And I'm, like I said, 17 months in.
I get it. And it seems like you've been, you know, many people consume me, very few get it, even fewer get it and do something about it. So you've given me enough context that you are in that third small bucket So now let's kind of go to the 301 course, right?
Yeah, totally.
What's confusing? I feel like you've got it. So this is even more fun. Like, give me the question. Like, what's the question? Like, what's the thing you don't see or what's hard?
There's two questions and I'm afraid of the answer and because it might be patience, but when to hire and how do I get more clients?
When to hire is much earlier than you think.
Yeah.
Try to make as little money as possible. Like right after this tonight. Okay. This is what I'm seeing with my business. How little can I live on for the next 2 years? Like the way I built Wine Library and VaynerMedia was exactly the same. I paid myself very little for a long time.
Yep.
For Wine Library forever, for Vayner, you know, after buying out my brother and other things, but I still feel undercompensated for the executive I am. Always take as little as possible because that will let you hire quicker, which will let you build faster.
And do you think it's hire a production person, you know, a creative that can do graphic design, maybe some copywriting, you know, if they got the video game, like that person to create content at scale? Or do you think
what's your biggest pain point right now? Account or output?
Output. So let's say, you know, I got 8 clients and, you know, if I'm creating content for them plus my personal brand, I feel the output is
to me, absolutely. Create what we would call creators, video or picture or written word. But I'd also be very thoughtful about bringing an account person immediately so that you're not dealing with the clients.
Right.
Because that's where you get strained on those ends.
Makes sense.
So one of each. And I'd probably go account and freelance the creative if you didn't have the means to do both. Yeah. And I would do both immediately if you can get to a place where you can afford to go to that place.
And the freelance game is definitely a good option. Hey, like I could find a young, talented graphic designer kind of person that could, you know, just
yeah, there's so many people out there. You can do a lot.
Okay. Okay. Got it. And obviously the cliche question of like, how do you find more clients? Is there really?
Well, I think you figured this out. I think Anthony's coming up. Like I think brand.
Yeah.
Brand is how you get clients and you're going down personal brand. A couple others here are going to do it.
Yep.
Like, but I think you need the creators and the one account person. Cause what you're now at is you're at mass with 8 clients and you're stuck.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. Yeah. Like the weeks just go by where I'm just like service.
Fuck, I didn't get to this. Correct. I didn't get a new client. I didn't put out more content for myself. You need to drive down the cost of your people. So the 2 people you hire, you need to make them as low as possible. And there's people out there that can do that. They're either well off or they're on 2 sides of the coin. Their parents are super rich and they can do it. Or they're super hungry and they don't give a fuck and they're like us and they're willing to just grind for it. They're out there. You got to spend all your time fixing the well, not the sink. You're in a hamster wheel. You take a step out like you're doing today. Brilliant. Honestly, take a step out. Now you need to act on this step out. You need to live on LinkedIn and on your own social and calling friends, going into your dress book on your phone and hitting up old friends. You know, anybody who's willing to and get a designer, copywriter, and a account person immediately.
Yeah, that makes sense. It. And it's just coming up with that, the number, you know, the metric, how much can I live on? And
correct. And then run the math backwards. That's it.
Yeah.
And then if you're desperate and you're hungry, you start selling tchotchkes, you know, like you just start selling shit, sell a fucking Flames piece of memorabilia. Like you fight for it. You'll buy it back in a couple of years. Like, you know, it's not just, you know, first it's how rough am I willing to live? Truly.
Yeah.
Like I was willing to live super rough. Like I've always lived below my means for investment in my businesses.
And that's it. I've listened to you say that over and over. And it what's been interesting is I talk to different people about, you know, they might not be business owners and I'm 17 months in and I'm thinking about hiring somebody and people think I'm crazy because they're like, how are you doing this? I needed a little of reinforcement of that. That's where this is supposed to go.
I think you're too late at 8. Yeah. I think you should have hired at 4.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants things fast, brother.
Yeah. And you know, building the personal brand idea, I launched a pretty trick podcast, super cool room, you know, it's got all the production value, it looks slick. You know, I'm trying to build my brand out to get access to different people instead of, you know, I go through my Rolodex once and say, hey, I offer all these services and you hear it's crickets, right? Nothing comes back. And so is there any ways to amplify that?
Link, LinkedIn, heavily LinkedIn. Also start a Calgary small business group on Facebook immediately. Call it the Calgary Small Business Association. And just like live on and just start fucking networking it, spamming people on like businesses on in Calgary on Facebook and be like, you should join this, host the party for Small Business Talk. That will lead to business.
And just let them and keep it focused on digital marketing and just kind of host the digital marketing party or just anything.
Nope. You talk about digital marketing, but just say business because you're more than a digital marketer. You just went through 17 months of starting a business.
Yeah.
The lonely days, the doubt, the didn't know how to open a bank account. Who the fuck knows, right?
All of it.
All of it, brother. I know it. I lived it.
Is there a way to actually go fishing for clients with bigger budgets right now? Let's say I'm kind of mom and pop. You know, if my monthly retainer is like $19.50 a month, is there a way to ratchet
up? By DM, by messaging people on LinkedIn and asking them if they, you know, want to join your pod, be a guest on your podcast to talk about marketing, which they'll say yes to. And then that leads to the business development.
Great. That makes sense. Is there any mistakes or issues? Like, is there anything I should be aware of as I'm growing this thing that I shouldn't do anything? Or
Don't run out of cash. You're doing too many things well. You need to figure out how low you can go.
Yeah.
Live that life for three years. Hire people. Fire them when they're wrong. Because the kryptonite here is you hire someone for account and they're bad. And you're like, but I fucking need this person to know. Fire, rehire. And that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
And just keep on, you know, the charging when I'm charging things out. Joe, just tell me if I'm talking too much. If I'm charging things out, I just keep on bumping it up every month and seeing until they say no.
You're listening too much, brother.
I do listen. So
listening too much. You got it.
Okay. It's and on the personal branding side, you still there? Or is it gone dead?
I'm here.
Okay, cool. Sorry. On the personal branding side, is there a way to amplify my message? So the hack that I've done is I interviewed Calgary's biggest DJ and put him on the podcast, clipped a 10-second moment out, put it up, advertised on Facebook and Instagram, target towards people in Calgary in an age range that are interested in that style of music. And, you know, I got 200 views on YouTube and, you know, it was the biggest or most well-received podcast. Brother,
you are so deep. Yeah. In my blueprint, like I'm genuinely bored at this point.
Okay, sorry.
No. I'm saying that as a huge compliment. You got this. Hire immediately. The two big breakthroughs I'm giving you is live like shit for two. Like start cutting expenses.
Yeah.
In your real life.
Yeah.
Like less on food. Don't do anything. Don't buy anything.
Yeah.
Sell some shit that's laying around the house. Like I'm not fucking kidding you.
Just do it. That's my growth. That's my growth. My next growth move right there.
Good.
All right.
Well, so we may get to more.
Okay.
Let's go down to Scottsdale and talk to Anthony. Anthony, you're on with G.
G, thanks again, bro. We spoke at a YPO event not too long ago. You told me to send out a text message within 24 hours. I made 120 grand in 3 hours. So thanks for the tip, brother.
Why don't you tell everybody what that is? Because that might just help a couple of people on here.
100%. You just I had people call in and customers, past customers, but I wasn't texting them or doing anything. You just talked about how the contact rate was like over 90%. At least for me, it was a 10% conversion rate on these texts. And you're just like, dude, you open every text you get, don't you? And I was like, oh yeah, no shit, duh. So you're like, okay, just like how you told the last guy, 24 hours, dude, what are you going to fucking do to act on it? Instead of just taking this info and be like, dope, good info. So I said, okay, cool. I loaded up. I literally signed up for a software. It took me less than an hour to set it up, shot it out the next morning. And literally between 9 a.m. and noon, we made 120 grand. Just one single text going out to everyone who's ever called us before. Just saying, hey, you know, it was basically like, hey, open enrollment's ending soon. Give us a call right now. Here's the phone number. Like it was fucking nothingness. Took an hour, made over six figures in 3 hours. So thank you.
So everybody, the more people you can get into text with you, the better. Just keep that in mind. A very special platform. Mm-hmm. You may need to get a separate number if you don't like having a lot of text interlude with your life. There's softwares, as Anthony's speaking to, but like text. What I'm going to tell you is very, very, very important. If you're going to build a personal brand as an arbitrage, the only reason I am where I'm at is that I've never looked the other way for my own self-interest. And I'm coming, and I can tell that you can feel this is coming from a really good place. Promise me that you're gonna really look in the mirror and say, what have I tricked or convinced myself for convenience because it's my business? And what is that, you know, because everyone has that line. That's life. I'll tell you why. There's no hiding when you build a personal brand. So what I wanna make sure you know you're walking into, if you're gonna amplify a personal brand in a space that has a brand issue, you have no prayer of succeeding. You're only gonna get more shit on unless you fucking own it, own it, own it.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you saying that, because yeah, my question was basically, I've been hiding from it. So nobody actually knows, you know.
Correct. Right. And so what I'm worried about is you've got to promise me that the three things that you've made up, excuses, justifications, tricked your own self, that you completely unravel that. If that's a death blow to the business itself, I'm telling you right now that a personal brand is only going to accelerate anxiety, nothing else. If you can own it, address it with how you do business, and then come out and say, yes, this is the game. Say every second right now, 99% of NFT products are going to fail because I see all the bad behavior. And I have to, because I think NFTs are going to be huge. So I have to massively say that because I believe it. But I have to over communicate all the pitfalls, because I don't need somebody saying, you fucking made me buy this NFT for $4,000 and it went to $9. It was Beanie Babies, because I know it to be true. And I would never tarnish my name for that. You can't trick people. It's not how life works. So you need to think, but you can trick yourself. Got it? And so I'm giving you real from the fucking heart advice right now. Yep.
I hear it.
You got it. You got it, bro. And by the way, either is okay. Everything's okay. Anything can be okay. But I can tell you right now, you will be snuffed out, and that will be amplified, and it'll be bad. And so you have to, at all fucking costs, be 100. The only person you could be naked with is yourself. You have to, this is like the value of this entire interaction. Get naked with yourself. No fucking tricking yourself. See if you can collateralize that and say, okay, I can never get over this hump. The world knows it's not good. And honestly, if I'm naked, like Gary told me to, it isn't good. What do I do now? Because if you go personal brand, you'll get destroyed if you're bad.
Sure. Makes total sense. Okay. So on that, I hear you. The NFT thing, the 99%, makes sense for me too, especially if I'm like, hey, it's going to fuck up your credit score, but it helps in this way. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. And like, if you're like, hey, because you could flip this, you know that, right? Yeah. It's like being the prisoner that becomes FBI. You can flip it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, here it fucking is.
Yeah, this is the road. With media transparency in the advertising space. You know,
100. I did a little short. Yeah, 100%. Like I always do that. It's who I am. It's why I win. You'll never trick the market. So when I see something's tricking the market, I don't try to trick the market and make a quick buck. I try to fucking expose it and have the long-term legacy.
I love that. Okay.
That's what I did in the wine world. I did in the wine world, right? Like, people were overpaying wines. Anyway, go ahead, brother.
No, I appreciate that. That was extremely more beneficial
Exactly. That's the game. And nobody gets to tell somebody how to live life. You do you, but don't trick yourself into thinking you can thread the needle on the personal brand thing in a space that has this much, you know, damage to it, unless you go in guns a-blazing, full naked, which may hurt you in some short-term revenue, but will help you long-term. And by the way, like friend to friend, you'll feel so much better every day. There's no cloud.
No, I,
I love that, brother. And I guess question on that, to segue that. So we're an affiliate, right? Just like LendingTree, you drive in, send a customer to Geico, and they're gone. Do you have any thoughts or ideas on how to bridge the gap of reoccurring revenue and or increasing the lifetime value? When right now I'd basically, you call in off my ad, I send you
brand.
To Geico.
Brand. You know, your game is all about brand. The way you'll increase is that people just default thinking to you, which will decrease your ARB funnels like Google and other things. Brand always wins the end.
Got it. And my question would be, okay, so if I've got aggressive advertising, that goes back to our first conversation we just had.
And you've got to build brand, not just sales funnels from sales, DR, toll booth, Google Life. You need to build brand. VaynerMedia doesn't get a trillion leads because I don't do any DR marketing. I'm not even sure. I could look right now on fucking YouTube and other agencies are probably buying VaynerMedia and we're not even buying it. Like, it's fucking brand.
I'm following. Makes total sense. Last question, if you don't mind. Personal brand, so the growth, no shock to our first conversation, isn't correlated to my business, right? Like, I'm not talking about how to get out of debt or auto insurance or anything like that. If I don't have direct monetization in my personal brand, but I know it's the importance of investing in it, do you have any, I guess, just common thoughts, suggestions, comments on that at all?
Yeah, I got a great one. Welcome to brand. You're so stuck being sales transaction. You just described brand. I can't talk about anything. You got it, brother? You literally just described brand. You're just so binarily, right? Like, it makes sense. You're math. You're black and white.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, brother, gray is the answer. That was beautiful what you just said. You just actually described brand.
Thank you.
You know what's so funny? I had an incredible meeting that I want to tell everybody here because it's going to help. Similar concept. The guy was all math. Da, 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 da. Thinks that I was full of shit and says to me, Gary, and I knew the guy. And then let me rephrase, it's not true. I knew of the guy, but he shows up to the meeting with the biggest cross on his chest that you've ever seen in jewelry form. So I take that social cue. I've got a sense, right? I knew a little bit about him, you know, him being a man of faith, which was cool, which I love, but he had a huge fucking cross, right? And he goes, Gary, the problem is, I believe in things I can touch. He was talking about math. He goes, what you talk about, I can't touch. I can't believe in it. And so I finally took a little bit of a barrage from him. I said, can I ask you a question? He goes, sure. I go, do you believe in God? He goes, are you fucking kidding me? I go, you're not touching God.
Yeah.
That's brand. I believe in brand more than any math anybody here shows me, because I know that's how the world actually works. And that's what you need to win on.
Got it, brother.
Cool.
Thank you very much. I'll run with
you. Speaking of iconic brands, Deuce, Sweet Baby Ray's. Let's go. You're on mute, Deuce.
Cool. Oh, Gary, I've been thinking about asking you this question for a long time because nobody could give me the answer. And I'm like, Gary's going to have it in the back of his head. So I got to give you a little context.
Okay. Please.
We opened the barbecue restaurant in 2005. Naturally, we started doing catering because people wanted backyard barbecues, picnics, grew into weddings. We bought a higher end catering brand, a smaller like $1 million boutique catering company called True Cuisine. So now we have Sweet Baby Ray's Catering, a barbecue restaurant, Sweet Baby Ray's, and True Cuisine. So now we're running two different brands, Sweet Baby Ray's Catering and True Cuisine Catering. A couple years later, we bought a big event planning company because we're going to do everything. We'll do your lights, your staging, your food, everything.
I got it.
Okay. So we created the SBR Events Group. Meeting House, the event company, did not work out. It was a bad partnership situation. So that's gone. So now we still have the Sweet Baby Ray's Catering, True Cuisine Catering, and the barbecue restaurant. I don't know what is the best way to market for long-term future.
The whole thing, the three parts, right?
Yes. Can I just call the whole thing SBR Events Group and roll it into one. The reason we got True Cuisine is because
stick with me, because yep. You're right. I do have the answer. let me tell you the path of how you're going to answer it with my help.
Okay.
To whom?
Okay.
So many people waste so much energy on things that either already been solved or are based on some ideology they have for themselves that means nothing to the customer.
Right.
So let's work backwards. Okay. You've got three entities, right?
Right. And possibly and then, a fourth with Deuces Wild, but that's a different conversation.
You've got four entities.
Yeah.
Right? I don't care what you corporately call them, nor does really the B2B world. The only thing we care about is who's making decisions, the customer, right?
Right.
So obviously for the restaurant, you're not going to change the name because it's the fucking restaurant. I mean, it's been there forever, right?
Yeah.
The two catering businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
You ask yourself, how strong are those brands individually? Right?
Okay.
What's Deuces Wild?
Deuces Wild is sauces and rubs. It's what I developed, barbecue after. Sauces
got
and
it.
Rubs.
Got it.
And that could be a restaurant brand too, potentially.
Do you know what the corporate entity that houses Wine Library is called? My dad's business?
No.
It's called Stecklin and Walker Inc. My dad bought it, the small liquor store in 1983 from Joe Walker and Jerry Stecklin. It is called Stecklin and Walker Inc.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that matters is that the brand is Wine Library and that's what people know.
Right.
Deuces Wild, the restaurant, and the two front-facing catering brands that people know and use and word of mouth around should mm-hmm. all keep their names.
Okay.
And whatever the fuck you want to call the holding company in the back.
Doesn't matter.
Do you think people here even know if Procter & Gamble owns Tide or Head & Shoulders is Unilever or that Sunkist is owned by Coca-Cola? Nobody gives a fuck. You give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. So I guess my question is then, with the True Cuisine brand, that's like our higher end catering. And all of it together is like where I have the problem with it, then I have to market all of it. I have to social media all of it. I have to.
Of course you do.
Okay.
They're different customers anyway.
Right. Okay.
You're trying to change the brands that have value because of the marketing execution instead of the reverse.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're looking for efficiencies.
Yes.
I love you. This was so fun. You're looking for efficiencies by diluting the thing that is the only fucking thing you have.
Okay.
You need to triple down on building out all those things.
Okay.
You can have one person at the top at the group level be the head of marketing, and then the individual four people that do content for the four things report into, so you can have some cohesiveness. You can switch around people. The third biggest business has the best person. Let's put her on the first business. You can have a little corporate there, but you need to market the brands unless you want to change all the brands. But you don't want to do that because the high-end brand has its equity in that name for the high-end.
Right. Yeah. The fancy brides don't want Sweet Baby Ray's to cater their wedding.
Go figure.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you definitely helped out a lot for sure with that. And I want you to come to Chicago and have some barbecue, Gary.
There you go.
I'm 100% committing right now. James Orsini will keep me honest.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Mainly,
Deuce, mainly because I want to take this clip, and then when I put your restaurant on my vlog, when I'm there, it'll show that I'm a man of my word. So I'm looking forward to it once the world opens up. That'll all right, let's wrap this up. Right. Alex.
Yeah, Alex, go ahead.
Text him, hey. Deuce.
So it goes without saying, Gary, I've got like a million questions that I could ask you about the liquor store business. But I guess... you know, I've been thinking about it the past few days. I'm just going to go with what I prefaced earlier. So I just want to tell you a little bit. Basically, I grew up in the store, right? My parents both came from Poland with nothing, basically. And they were able to buy into a store. When I was about six
Alex,
or seven.
Give me 13 seconds. I apologize. Give me 13 seconds.
You got it. It's arrived at destination.
Yeah, it's getting ready to get that vaccine.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, I'm getting the vaccine. I'm pretty excited. All right, go ahead, brother.
pretty excited. That's interesting. So grew up, you know, working in there, never really planned on staying in the business. Went to college. After college, I figured, let's go. I saved up some money, went to Poland, trying to basically figure out how to make money online. And that never really happened. So after basically 2 years, I came back with my now wife, moved back in with my parents and convinced them to, let me run that liquor store for them. And so that was about 3 years ago when I was 24. And so since then, you know, I've been able to basically like brute force it from 1.2 million to last year we closed at 4.5 million. You know,
wow.
Yep. Yeah. So it's going pretty well. Also it's been fucking brutal, honestly. You know, I've been on COD since basically January, just got off this week.
Shit.
But, I also,
why? Because yep. You got caught because demand started to sway a little bit. Like as people kind of got back a little bit.
Why am I on COD? No.
Yeah, did you get over your steez or you got one bad deal that fucked you up? Because I know the business so well. I'm just curious.
It's kind of like a pattern. I was on COD for a bunch of months last year as well. But basically this December was the first time I almost did we did like $700,000 in December, right? And a lot of that was shipping. Yeah, we crushed, but I overordered. And
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Keep going.
So last month I closed on a liquor store, my own, because that one's under my dad's name. You know, in New York, you can only have
one
license.
Of course.
So now I've got this Lynbrook Wine and Liquor, which honestly, I plan on just kind of selling that, you know, hopefully sooner than later, within like 6 months to a year.
You bought it to flip it?
I bought it because I've been wanting to buy a store for a while.
Good for you.
It was a good deal. It was really cheap. It was like $100,000 all in. So yeah, I want to basically flip it. And then I know I'm going to have a bunch of money, you know, hopefully by next year to invest in something cool. That being said, I also started doing some YouTube videos like 2 years ago, basically for liquor store owners. And it's just off the cuff, kind of like me genuinely giving advice and stuff. And so, it was pretty boring in the beginning, but now at this point, you know, I'm getting emails and calls and stuff, people actually coming to the store and stuff and appreciating, you know, other liquor store owners who really like go out of their way to thank me for providing that info for them. And so, cool. It's been on my head, you know, I know that I've got to continue both in the liquor store business, just because I've already got that head start and, you know, I'm patient enough. I can wait another 10 years before I can make money with, you know, running liquor
stores. You've got it very figured out. You can easily do both. Easily.
Sure. And so what do you think, Gary? I came up with alexflasinski.com. You know, it's all like I took some course on how to make a course, and you know, that sounds funny, but the course is pretty much there. I'm ready to start calling people and have people pay me to help them improve their liquor store businesses. And I'm curious, what do you think? Do you think that I should push hard to make money up front, or should I just keep providing, you know, these free videos and spend more time on that as far as the personal brand side of things go?
Everyone's different. My preference is that you don't go for scale because they're not specific and that you do more hand-to-hand combat and do bigger retainers. Mm-hmm. I'd rather you have like two clients paying you $50,000 each for the year than sell 100 courses, because every time somebody pays for a course to learn how to do courses, they fuck up their brand.
Sure.
The end. Okay. It's super binary. I'd rather you focus on your business, build up the liquor store so it flips, keep building your parents' one, get a second one again on your own name after you sell one, make it bigger and better, and keep making the videos and get somebody to really pay you as a consultant, like $50,000 for the year, $100,000, you know, nice little bag, and keep building and learning how. One of the things all of us have learned, Jeff, I'm sure you learned this about yourself as you made your transition, and others here, all of us have way more capacity than we thought we did. Like you used to think you were busy. Remember everybody when you used to think you were busy and then you got way busier? Remember that? Like no matter what it is, for all of us, everyone here, my team, is like, it's just the way it is. I'm sure for Joe and James, when they came into my company, like the speed and like, it's different. It's like humans can do more than they think. And so you'll figure that out as you'll have four stores, one in your wife's name, like, and consulting seven, and you're still just 28 or 29, 30, 31, 32. Like I would keep going down that path because people don't triple down on what they got going that's working. They think they need to go to some new thing. Like, I hear your story, Alex, and then the next line is like, and now, Gary, I'm going to be a crypto trader. And I'm like, why? Like, fucking back to, you know, patience and like strategy. And it, Alex, it's flattering. You know how happy I am that people can hear my story? Because I'm sure for you, just a little bit, because we have so many similarities of our backgrounds and heritage and everything, it probably is exciting for you to hear like me say, hey, I was 34 and I was still in liquor store. I had no fucking money. Like, it gives hope to, like, you know, right? It gives hope. And I think it's, here's the good news. It's true. How old are you now?
27.
Yeah, I'm really, you know, in love with
The corporate name for the store is actually Triple Down Inc. I don't know why, but
I love it.
And I was thinking maybe the next store is going to be in actually New Jersey. It doesn't have to do with you. It has to do more with the fact of the, you know, expanding. If I do continue
100%,
I mean, the
second you do that, I'm going to start getting very feisty and try to put you out of business. I think that's awesome, bro. And I think you can look. This is an industry where you figure it out, you can do real damage. And it's a great base. I lived it. You know, I changed my parents' life. Like, I know what their lifestyle is compared to what it was. It's a good industry if you have the talent. And I think consulting other people is good training. Some people will say it's distraction. You should focus on your own. I actually think it's good training because you're going to learn new patterns that you wouldn't have had in your own business. You're going to learn shit from another business that you're going to apply to your business. There's something there. You're still in your 20s. I like where you're going. Do both.
Thanks, Gary. Today's amazing 5-star review comes from DSmooth9, and it reads, "The best podcast around. Gary V has changed my life. I listen to his podcast every morning, and it gives me the push I need." Thanks for that amazing review. And to anybody listening out there, if you leave us a review, you might just get shouted out in the next episode.